Okay, 7 o'clock. It's time to call to order the Town of Discovery Bay regular CSD board meeting. If I can get everyone to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Outstanding. Okay, this is the opportunity for public comments. If there's any members of the public that wishes to address the board on any matters not on tonight's agenda, here's your opportunity. If you want to either come to the podium or identify yourself online, that would be great. I think we have Bill's in the audience. Bill, do you want to come up and...
Yeah, I'm Bill Weber. I've been in Discovery Bay for about 20 years. I'm a lifetime member of BFW Post 1789 over in Benwood. Recently, we held our first big event since the pandemic started. It was a Poppy Drive. Some of you may have seen this Friday and Saturday over at Safeway. I want to thank Safeway for being a really good partner with us. It was really successful. We raised the money through donations for all the poppies that we gave out. And all the money goes to help, 100% help that. The reason I'm here today is I was going to do this in the December meeting, but it looked like on the agenda the December meeting was canceled. We were talking in our VFW meeting about doing something to remember the Pearl Harbor veterans. This is the 80th anniversary of that event. And we were talking about the VFW members who were veterans in World War II, and the last 4 or 5 years have been really hard for us. We've lost all of the members who were World War II veterans. So I used to go in there, and we used to talk to people who actually were at Iwo Jima, who were at Normandy Beach or Omaha Beach, who were at the Bataan Death March. All those members are gone now. And so, what I'd like to do is I'd like to have you remember this year, personally or in some way, the 80th anniversary of the events of Pearl Harbor. And in some way, if you can, reach out to those who are survivors or who are sons or daughters of those survivors, if you can. And I've got a coin for each one of you. If you want to go ahead and pass these down. To help you remember that day.
What is that? The 13th? What day is that, Bill?
No, December 7th.
December 7th. Okay. Well.
Now, finally, I just want to remind you that 372 people, service members, died on that date. That were from California. 4 were from Contra Costa County. John Bird, that was on the USS Tracy, had turned 18 that year. James Martin, USS Arizona. Charles Springer, USS Arizona. And Alfred Stout, from the USS Arizona. 2,400, over 2,400 people died that day.
Brian, if I make a suggestion,
yes.
I would make it based on Bill reminding us of that and asking us to do it. I would ask that we open the meeting on the 15th of December, honoring the Pearl Harbor survivors and their families, and remembering them and memorializing them at the opening of our meeting on the 15th of December.
Yeah, I think that's a great recommendation. In fact, I was just going to ask, since you have the most guidance on Veterans Affairs on this board, you know, what your thoughts were. So. I think that's an awesome idea if the board members are okay with that.
Thank you for reminding us and bringing that to our attention, Bill. I appreciate that.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for the coin. Greatly appreciated.
Okay. Do we have any more public comments? Whether in the audience or online?
Not online. Thank you.
Okay. Then given that, we will close public comments and move to consent calendar. Does the board have any discussion, or do I get a motion?
I get a motion to approve consent calendar.
Second.
Roll call, please.
President Coteau?
Yes.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Then we'll move forward to presentations, E1.
Great. We have Colleen Haley from CSDA to present the Board of Directors with an award.
Hello, everyone. As you all have been here many times to present to you with awards. It's good to be back in person. As most of you know, I am your Bay Area Field Coordinator in Public Affairs for the California Special Districts Association. But I'm here today representing the Special District Leadership Foundation. And it's my distinct pleasure to present you with two awards here today. The first is the District Transparency Certificate of Excellence Renewal. You have received this before. In fact, you received this for the first time in 2014. And you've kept it current and in effect until that time. And the second award is the District of Distinction Accreditation Platinum Level. You've also received that award since 2014. But this is the first time you're receiving it at the Platinum Level. Platinum Level is the highest level that the foundation has, and it requires all board members and the general manager to go through extensive training and professional development. So it's quite an accomplishment you're receiving here today, and as I said, I'm thrilled to present you with these two honors. But I also have formal talking points that I have to present with both awards. You'll bear with me. The first is the Transparency Certificate of Excellence. And we're starting with that one because it's required in order to get the District of Distinction. So this is the one that we're beginning with here today. About the Special District Leadership Foundation, first of all, it's a 501c3 not-for-profit foundation, arm of CSDA. Dedicated to promoting excellence in special districts through recognition programs to highlight and focus on implementation and governance best practices. Currently, there are four. The District of Distinction, I can't talk tonight, sorry. It's been a while since I've done in-person presentations. The District of Distinction, the District Transparency Certificate of Excellence, and then there's two for individuals. One is a Special District Administrator Certificate for the General Manager, and the second is a Recognition of Special District Governance for board members. But we're here tonight to talk about the District Transparency Certificate of Excellence. The program was created in 2013 as an effort to promote transparency in the operations and governance of special districts to the public and to provide special districts with the opportunity to showcase their efforts in transparency, and this in effect for 3 years. Three main subject areas for the accreditation are the basic transparency requirements, which include current ethics training certificates for all board members, and timely filing of the State Controller's Special District's Financial Transaction Compensation Report. The second is website requirements, which include posting the board meeting schedule, district's mission statement, current audit and budget information, and the board of directors roster in terms of office. And then the third requirement is the outreach requirements, which the district has to select two of the following, including a regular district newsletter, annual informational public budget hearing, and or a community transparency review. Therefore, why is transparency important? Because the public has a right to access and to open government. Special districts, regardless of type or size, are public agencies that use public money and provide public services. The district's business is the public's business. Transparency means a district that is open, accessible, and engages the community. Because easy access to district information through mediums like websites provides for an opportunity for constituents to better understand their district. And lastly, because transparency allows for accountability. Therefore, the presentation of this certificate means the district has completed all those requirements and has demonstrated a tangible acknowledgement of district's transparency efforts. Also shows the district's commitment to being open and accessible to the public and displays a commitment to engaging the public and creating greater awareness of the district's activities. Next, we have the District of Distinction. The District of, District of Distinction accreditation was designed in a way for districts to highlight their prudent financial practices, along with other areas important to effectively operate and govern as special districts, and it's also in effect for 3 years. The District of Distinction program enables districts to demonstrate to their communities, the media, legislators, and other stakeholders their commitment to operate in a sound, responsible manner, and that they truly stand out as a district that has gone above and beyond. The accreditation requires clean financial audits for a minimum of 3 consecutive years, proof that the district has essential policy and procedures in place, all directors and staff have completed required comprehensive training and governance for all the laws pertaining to districts as public agencies. Therefore, why is it important? Because it demonstrates the district's understanding and respects responsibility inherent in providing essential public services, shows that the district has clean audits and operates in a fiscally responsible and transparent manner, places an emphasis on continuing education within the district, and focuses on having sound practices in the areas of governance, board conduct, district finances, transparency, and reserves. And I said this earlier, but it bears repeating that this district is one of only 9 other districts in the state that currently hold the District of Distinction Platinum level accreditation. So it's a pretty high accomplishment. And I know it took a lot of staff time, board member time for all the extra training. And I know it was, well, hopefully it'll be well worth it. So thank you again for all your hard work. And we'd like to take a picture, if possible, of the board members. I can present these 2 awards to you. And if the president...
How many districts are in the United States, in California?
There's about 2,000 special districts. Not all of them are our members. Obviously, mm-hmm. our members hear about the programs a lot more, have more of opportunity to apply for the different certificates.
But certainly puts into perspective, 9 out of a couple thousand is pretty...
Oh, and they're all eligible. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And I'd like to just make a couple of comments because I've been here since before 2014, and that is, first of all, I want to acknowledge the fact that Rick Howard is the one that implemented this program and encouraged the board at the time of his general managership for us to get involved in this. There was a lot of things going on in the town back in those days. There were some contentious things just with regards to things that were happening that people didn't understand, not that there was anything nefarious going on. So I appreciate the fact that the CSDA put together benchmarks, because even though we were using best practices and even though we were using our auditing properly and we were reporting things we should, the fact that you provided us with a way to benchmark that so we can go to our public and say, hey, look, these are the benchmarks that an independent agency set up and we're striving to meet and overachieve, actually, those requirements, makes us better and gives us a tool to use. So I just want to thank the CSDA for that.
Absolutely. That's why the whole reason the program was created, because districts are doing great things and the public needs to know about it. So, you know, you're already doing all these things. We're giving you the board that showcases to everyone that you've done them.
Okay, let's take a picture.
So I don't know if the board member or the general managers who participated also want to be in the picture. I didn't ask that previously, but...
even though the past general manager was responsible for 95% of or 100% of continuing these accolades.
Should we stand in front so we can get into a better tighter picture, or why do you want to do
if
it?
If you stand in front, you might be able to get the seal on the picture.
How did you want to do it? I'm sorry.
No, Colleen and I discussed it. We were going to have you sit at the dais. We're going to take a picture of you at the dais with the picture, and the awards were be held by Brian.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Rob. Both of you can showcase them.
Oh, that works. Beautiful.
And Mike, you really should take a picture with these.
Sure. Can
this,
I take my
this is the board's accomplishment.
Can we do that one more time?
With your hard work.
One more time. Yeah.
I need to be in the picture, don't I?
That's right.
Who's that?
Very nice. One, two, three. And if you don't mind, with the board's permission, we'll also post this on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Are these needed for minute-taking purposes?
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
You see you again.
Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Okay, then moving forward, we will go on to E2, Veolia.
Okay, Anthony Harper from Veolia will be giving his presentation. Anthony, since I'm going to run the presentation from my computer, would you please just say next slide when you want to continue on? So give me 1 minute to set that up, please. Okay. There should be one on. I think so.
Oh. We have it here too, though.
Yeah, you have.
And then on that screen.
And that
yeah, that's here. Behind my couch at home.
Works really well.
Good evening, board. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
All right. Today I present to you October's report for the water and wastewater system. As always, we start our presentation off with our safe working days, a number that keeps growing and that we are very, very proud of. At the time of October, we were at 4,448 safe working days. Some of our safety topics covered last month were hazardous material handling safety, traffic safety, our near miss reporting. We actually had a, I guess you could say, a mock drill on earthquake evacuation safety and things like that throughout the plant, including some of our contractors on site at the wastewater plant. Also, safety while driving in the rain, since we started getting some of that last month. And housekeeping. On the next page, we have our current well status, or water well status. All six wells for Brook Creek are active. No ongoing issues at this time. Next page. For our water production chemicals, both Willow Water Treatment Plant and Newport are both active. We have a total of production of 4.36 million gallons and a total hydrochloride usage of 4,323 gallons. So we have started coming out of our peak season. Question?
I probably should have recognized this at another time or previously, and maybe I didn't have forgotten, but is it typical that Newport will outproduce Willow?
That is correct.
Okay.
On the next slide, our water compliance numbers, total number of samples collected for coliform in the water system was 16, and none of them were positive. And we had no water quality complaints from any of the residences. Next slide, please. On our wastewater system, we have all 15 lift stations are active, no SSOs to report, and no ongoing issues there. On the next slide, please. For our wastewater treatment plants, plant one is still offline. Plant two is fully operational, and we had a total flow of 1.67 million gallons for the month. And we are not injecting any chemicals because our polymer system belt presses down due to corrective action we're working on for the digest pond. On the next slide, wastewater compliance numbers. All of our numbers are within the limit. The only one that is starting to creep up on us is, and we've stated this before, is our conductivity numbers. We're very close to hitting our limit there. And I was hoping to have our results for November today so that I could at least verbally share that with y'all. We haven't gotten those results yet, so we're very close to this number. However, we're trying to do everything we can to reduce that. So, and on the next slide, as far as maintenance, no SSOs and no customer inquiries over complaints with wastewater. I do understand that some of the office staff of the town did come out and conduct a tour of the wastewater plant to see a lot of the work in action out there. But I do invite y'all to please come out and take a look at some of that stuff. It's getting interesting by the day to day. So I welcome you all, and if y'all have any questions, please.
Is that pit getting deep? I saw them building off-site shoring.
That's correct. Right
for
in
that.
Front of the admin building, when we first come to the plant, they're building a forms for to be able to pour the concrete. So
are they getting down low enough to hit any intrusion, water intrusion?
They have. They,
I thought
been,
so.
They've been fighting that all summer. And
I
fact,
thought so.
The more it rains, the less water's coming on the ground for some reason. We don't know why. We got water all summer in the bottom. It starts raining, there's not as much water in the bottom. So. That is one I've never seen anywhere else, let me tell you.
Welcome to Discovery Bay.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Any questions? Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and then we'll move on to business and action items, F1. You're F2.
Mike Hiraka will be presenting that to you. So let's see here. Okay, go ahead, Mike. You can unmute yourself, please. Mike Hiraka, are you there? Okay, oh, the volume.
I hear something.
Can you speak?
Okay, we're working on it.
Okay. All right, I'll give his presentation then. All right. Today is to give a presentation regarding the Well 8 and authorizing Harrison Associates, Inc. to prepare environmental documents to the future well on Parcel C of the Pantages subdivision in the amount of $35,390 plus 15% contingency. We reached out to multiple organizations. Two of them provided quotes. One was Harrison Associates and the other was Envision. And the third one was a non-responsive. So we'd like to move forward with the recommended action, which is to approve the scope and budget contained in the attachment of Harris & Associates, Inc., the proposal letter dated October 15th to perform the environmental work compliance with CEQA for future well 8. We'd like to authorize the general manager to execute the town standard form a consulting agreement with Harris to perform the environmental work in the amount not to exceed $35,390, and to authorize an additional $5,300 in contingencies for the project. Are there any questions regarding this?
So essentially, this is just the next iteration to the plan. We put a test well out, the test well panned out, and now we're moving forward with the second step.
That's correct. Yep, and then the future will be coming to you with design and then selecting a, you know, a firm to build it. So, okay.
Does the board have any clarifying questions?
No.
Members of the public, or does any public comments regarding this?
No public comments online either.
Okay. Close public comments. Bring back the board for motion.
Move to accept that for recommendation.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Can you hear me? Are you able to hear me, Rod?
Yes, Rod.
Excellent. I do have Mike Yaraka on the phone. He is not able to speak, and or he can hear Dina, and he can hear the board, but he is unable to speak. So if there are any questions, I'm happy to pass them through my cell phone and do my best to repeat what he says.
I think Dina gave the report, and the board had no questions.
Dina, according to Mike, I believe Dina gave the report, and he has no additional...
Mike has no additional items to add.
Now you're back. Now you're on.
Okay.
And just like that.
Mike Yaraka, I think we can hear you now. Go ahead and speak if you'd have anything to add.
That would be no. Oh. I know that sound.
Well, no, most is on the board, on the table now.
Rod, can you hear me?
Oh, there we go.
Yes, Mike, we can hear you.
I can.
And for some reason, something happened to the system, and I cannot hear the board of directors or Dina talking anymore.
Yeah, and what's interesting is I can actually hear you through the computer.
Okay, can you hear us now?
Oh, yeah, now I can hear you.
All right, go for it, Mike.
There we go. We got it figured out.
You can hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay, did you already present the item?
I presented it, but if you have anything else you'd like to add, please go ahead.
Well, not having heard anything that you said, if you presented it, I think you probably did a fantastic job. So if the board has any questions, I can try and respond.
Are there any questions for Mike Yaraka? Okay. Any public comment? Okay. There are none on the line.
Okay. Well, roll call, please.
Okay. All right. President Gateau.
Yes. Aye.
Vice President Graves.
Aye.
Okay. Director Porter.
Aye.
Director Callahan.
Aye.
Director Grimm.
Aye.
Okay.
Motion carries. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dina, for stepping in.
Thank you.
Good job, Mike.
All right. Now that we're back on track, go ahead.
No, F2.
The next item, F2, is landscape manager Bill Engelman, and he will present to you the proposal and bids that we received for the synthetic turf.
All right. Synthetic turf, take two. Okay. So we initially obtained a rough estimate in March of $55,000 to convert the landscaping adjacent to the pool decking to synthetic turf. So when we initially sought bids for the project in July, the results were $113,692 and $166,67. So these were rejected at the following board meeting because they were far in excess of our budget. We then went back to the original firm who estimated the project to be $55,000, and their new amount was to be $85,000 based on increasing labor and material costs. So we rebid the project October 27th and received two bids. Silicon Valley Paving, which is part of the original firm that did the $85,000 estimate at $105,000, and McNabb Construction $117,649. So before we move forward with our recommended action, we dug a little deeper regarding the safety of synthetics, particularly as it relates to the product itself. So when reviewing the safety data sheets and speaking with representatives and manufacturers, there are a few things. There's no lead in the product. The presence of PFAS chemicals, which is a class of chemicals used to make materials heat and grease resistant, commonly found in household items, may be used, but studies have shown products containing these chemicals do not show signs of increased negative health impacts from thermal exposure. There's no chrome rubber tire infill used. We're going to use sand infill. And something maybe not thought about was the end-of-life recycle reuse issue. It can either be repurposed for other field applications or used in landfills to create a separation medium. So even though costs have risen, staff feels that this is still an aesthetically pleasing and safe option. And tonight we request the board approve the low bid of $105,000 submitted by Silicon Valley Paving for the installation of synthetic turf at the community center pool. Questions?
I have a question. So they've bid technically now three different times. With this bid of $105,000, are we concerned that because of pricing and inflation that that's going to go up, or are they committed to that 105 number?
So I think, okay, the reason that 85 went to 105, my personal belief is that they had to hire a GC to have the required bonding requirements.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that increased it a little bit. So I think that's where that
cost went up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have we determined what specific artificial turf? Because I know there's all different flavors of it.
Yeah, we specified in our bid documents the exact turf that we would use.
And are they concerned about supply chain issues in getting that and meeting our deadlines?
No.
Okay.
When do they anticipate?
I believe they were 3 months out at this point, so that puts us
March.
And normally, when does the pool open again?
Memorial Day weekend.
Sorry.
Memorial Day. You know, Memorial Day. That's why we have Monica.
And once they get it in, how long does it take for them to install?
I want to say it's a 6-week turnaround.
So it's not horrible.
It's not terrible.
It's obvious it's all going to depend on what kind of weather we have through the winter, because they're going to be starting this thing right through in the rainy season. So it's all going to be a little bit flexible, but we have a 60 days or so of cushion in there, it sounds like. We want to make sure we're open for the season this year.
Absolutely.
100%. So, I would go ahead and make a motion to accept. Go ahead.
And I know we've probably discussed this before, but just to refresh, do they have any estimated temperatures that it will reach on a 113-degree day?
So the only information I do have is that it's not any hotter than concrete.
Okay.
So I don't know the exact degree.
I think that's one of the concerns of artificial turf is it's hot.
When you use chrome recycled tire infill, that increases the heat because of its properties.
But having the umbrellas and such up, I think all that, I can't see Monica, but I think all that is such a good idea, and that'll definitely help keeping the heat down and keep families happy.
If the board doesn't have any more questions, I'll go ahead and open to public comments. Frank?
Frank Biffenton, 940 Discovery Boulevard. The bottom line is there is no safe synthetic grass anywhere. Please plant real grass. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Any other public comments? Tina?
There are no public comments.
Okay, then I'll close public comments, bring back to the board for either further discussion or motion.
I would make a motion that we approve the least expensive option that's been researched with the organization we've been working with. I don't remember the details, but $105,000.
A second.
Roll call, please.
Mr.
DeGraff?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Coteau?
Aye. Thank you. Motion carries. Okay. Thanks, Bill. Okay, do we have a manager's report?
Not this evening.
Any director reports?
No meetings.
Okay. Any future agenda items?
I have a future agenda item.
Go ahead.
I'd like to propose an agenda item to discuss the possibility of the Board of Directors directing staff to work with legal to adopt a ballot measure to on the next election that would impose term limits for the Board of Directors.
Okay. Then if there's no other agenda items, then 7:36, meeting adjourned.